This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Brisbane and Australian-based Local Legends in Running podcast. My name is Ollie Jones and I'm the host of the show and the founder of the Local Legends in Running brand, including online running coaching services. This podcast primarily involves a one-on-one conversation format with Australian and global elite and amateur runners, coaches, exercise scientists, and event directors, where you hear insights, opinions, and stories you'd otherwise struggle to find scrolling online. Today on season 4, episode 96, I invite back to the show Stephen Butcher from the Bush Jerky Track Club in Brisbane. Stephen has now featured on the podcast 6 times, the second most of any guest, and there's a reason for that. He, of course, loves a chat. He's a passionate follower of the sport, and he's very astute with his own running training, always thinking about how he can be better athlete himself. This episode focused mainly on the Melbourne Marathon, where Stephen recorded an 8-minute PB with a 2:36. He reflects on the weekend itself. He was there with the Bush Jerky Track Club in accommodation too with about 5 of the guys and the race in general. We talk about the podium, the first, second and third place getters in the half and the marathon and where they're heading in the next few months and next year. And then we finish with discussing Stephen's training and the Bush Jerky Track Club too, which was great to elaborate on what they do and a few events coming up with the club. I hope you enjoy, guys, as always, and thanks for listening. Welcome the second most frequented guest ever on the Local Legends in Running podcast, a 2:36 marathoner and one of the OG Bush Jerky Track Club members too from Brisbane. That would of course be Stephen Busher. Welcome back.
Thanks again for having me, Ollie. Who's number one as the most?
Yes, have a guess. We've spoken about her recently.
What, Narissa or Brooke Williams? Probably.
Yeah, Brooke Williams. She's the one. Not even a Brisbane person either, but she just by the way of flow of how things have worked, she's been on here the most. But once upon a time, Stephen had never been on here. Now he's been on here the second most. That's pretty cool. And of course, we've been mates for a while now and run together in that Bush Jerky Track Club in Brisbane. So it's always great to have someone close to talk to on the podcast. And it's at a pretty pertinent time after the Melbourne Marathon, and I mentioned 2:36. That was at that event, Melbourne. That's almost 2 weeks ago tomorrow, isn't it, Stephen? Is that three weeks or two?
Been 2 weeks, so yeah. A couple of weeks. Still hasn't really sunk in, but it's a pretty good time, and yeah, it's sort of, can't believe it's already been 2 weeks, so that's, yeah.
It's crazy, hey? And I've been out there training with you, of course. I've been in threshold mode, speed interval mode. You've been jogging. How's the body been since? And what do you normally do after a marathon to kind of absorb and recover from that event before you do anything else in terms of a race?
Yeah, this time my body's pulled up really well. Like, to how I have. Like the worst I've had is I got a little quad strain, and I didn't jog much for about 7 weeks. Whereas this time, that's as bad as I've had. Normally, I'm back jogging within like 3 or 4 days. So this time, I jogged Thursday. That was even a little bit earlier than I wanted to. But I was camping with my family. I had a week off after the marathon just to go away and have a bit of family time. And we're camping with Andrew Parr, one of the bush turkeys. So he was like, "I'm jogging tomorrow. Do you want to come with me?" And I said, "Yeah, all right." Because we're down at Hastings Point, which is a
Oh
not the
yeah.
most exciting place to jog, but it's nice. So I just jogged last week 3 times. This week I've jogged a little bit more. Sort of back to the normal amount of days I would jog, but I haven't done any intensity, just a couple of strides. But I mean, in terms of like how I've pulled up, like I don't know if it was just swimming in the ocean or something, but or maybe just I was, went in well prepared, and when you run well, you don't lose form and smash your body. So I don't know what exactly did it this time, but I've pulled up pretty well, and I'm sort of trying to hold myself back a bit because I'm eager to get back into it. So but I don't want to do anything silly because it's easy to get carried away after a marathon. So
Yeah, it's well, let's get to the weekend itself because for the Bush Turkey Truck Club, it's a pretty special weekend because you were down there with almost 10 runners, and I think about half of those staying at the same location in a house or unit there together. And that is pretty cool to have that opportunity to hang out with your running mates for a whole weekend, and a lot of you without your family as well. And you and I both have young families, Stephen. It's great to have them out there to sort of support you, but equally, it's almost at times easier logistically to do it on your own. As much as you are away from the family and leaving your wife busy with kids, it can sort of help in a way, can't it? So yeah, just talk to us about the weekend in general first with the Bush Turkey Track Club and how that played out before we get to the race.
So we had as you mentioned, I think there was about 10 of us down there, staying over a few places. It's been a bit of a, the bush turkey for our group, it's been a bit of a happy hunting ground, Melbourne. So I've gone down with them. This is the second time I've gone down with them. Well, the 2 times I've done it, we've stayed in Richmond, which is just about a K, K and a half from where the MCG is. So you're really close, it's close proximity. So we had just about everyone was staying around there, but I was in a house with a little Airbnb with Taz, Savage, Ewan, McFazzin, and Clive Janine Gross. So we had a nice little Airbnb, and it's we were sort of the central spot. A couple of the other boys, Rob Singleton, Aiden, Deneen, and Mark Hilmer were staying pretty close to us, like in the apartment, and a few other boys just in apartments and as well. So they came to us, and we had a nice little group jog on the Saturday morning around the Yarra, which was pretty good, and then just sort of sat around and just relaxed and ate carbs and enjoyed the weekend before the race. Just about everyone who went down had a great race, and then after we had a few celebratory drinks. So we actually went to the Hotel Collingwood, and some of the Pulse running group, which
Oh
is sort of
yeah.
Jack Rayner and Brett Robinson's training group. They had like a post Melbourne party there, so there was some fairly elite guys floating around the pub there, and then our group as well. So but yeah, it's a really fun weekend, and I don't think anyone had their family there this time, which is I miss them like crazy when I'm there. But it does, as you said, logistically, I think you relax a bit more and you can just focus on yourself and eating when you need to eat. People who've heard me on here before, I've got an 8-month-old baby at home who's not the greatest sleeper in the world. So having two like uninterrupted nights of sleep going into the race, I'm sure, was a pretty helpful for me. And Yeah, but you miss them, but it does make it easier in a way. And I think sometimes when I do drag them along to events, I feel a little bit bad that they're sort of standing around and, Jess has the kids and all that sort of thing. So that it's, yeah, it is easier when they're not there, and but you do miss them. So I suppose, yeah, it's a bit of a trade-off, but it's a very fun weekend for the bush turkey guys. Like, and yeah, we yeah, there's a yeah, I think everyone had a great time, and everyone had a good run. So yes, yeah, it's yeah, great time.
Yeah, agreed. Hey, can we go back a little bit further before the race actually, Stephen? Because you've run some amazing 5, 10 and half marathons in the last 2 years, and I think even you have said this, that your marathon sort of stood out in the last couple of years away from those as being as sort of as quality or as fast, relative. And this was a huge PB. Like in my mind, this was so overdue. What do you think led to this performance? Was it just consistency over a long duration?
Yeah, I think so. Like I think I've been in shape, definitely to break 240 probably a couple of times. Last year was a bit of a funny year. Like, I was a bit injured and didn't have, like, I ran a very small marathon PB, which was probably good relative to how fit I was last year. But I mean, I still got a lot of running in last year, but I just it wasn't very, like, wasn't much quality. But I think off the back of that was, the years before that, I've just, slogged away and, stayed consistent and haven't, outside of last year, haven't missed much time. But I think, yeah, I don't know. I think probably the combination of that and this year, last year, sort of having the rough running year, I think changed my perspective a bit on running and made me chill out a bit about it. And like, you were there at Bridge to Brisbane, like you can probably, so I get them a little bit silly before a race and just carry on like a bit of a yeah, carry on a little bit. But for me, just relaxing and, enjoying time with your mates, in a pretty privileged position with a family who lets me do this sort of thing. And I think that, like, just enjoying what I'm doing and then just being consistent over a few years, just sort of it all came together over the weekend. And yeah, I think I've said a couple of times to you and a few people that I'm a bit shocked at how the result went. I sort of thought I could run that time. I just didn't think I would run it the way I did. But it's, yeah, I feel like it's long overdue, and now it's sort of, for me, at least I think it's on par with some of the other times I've run, so it doesn't stick out as one that's too slow now. But yeah, I don't know, probably those two things, just enjoying it and being consistent. And if everyone does that, then yeah, you're doing pretty well, I reckon. So
Yeah, and a big part of your race too was Taz Savage, another bush turkey runner. And actually, a couple of days after the event, Stephen, I had an idea to get you and Taz on this podcast, actually, to do a bit of a recap. But I've seen Steve Woolley from Eat Sleep, and I am good mates with Steve, and I'm all good with it. But I've just seen him pop up with Clive and Rob from the Bush Turkeys in a podcast episode, a bit of a recap, and Taz has spoken about his experience. And I bring that up because you guys were running together for a lot in that. And if you can sort of get back to that podcast and have a listen to Steve and the guys, it's fantastic hearing about the turkeys and Taz's run. But if we get to your race, like, was that a plan to sort of head out with Taz? He'd run an amazing Gold Coast marathon, didn't he? 2:40. Not too long ago, really, when you talk about marathon, like the space between marathons, that was like for him a huge performance. And he had a lot to kind of, I guess, I don't know, a bit of weight on his shoulders to bring that time a bit because it was such a good run then, wasn't it? And yeah, he was a part of your race to what, almost 36, 7K, wasn't it?
Yeah, about probably, I don't know exactly when kilometer wise, but we ran together until, for if anyone has done Melbourne, like you kind of go, you're running up St Kilda Road and then you sort of cut under this tunnel and then you go down to the tan track, basically, or where the tan track is. You sort of stay on the roads in the Botanic Gardens and then you swing a right and then you go up a little hill. It was sort of there. I think I got up the hill a little bit easier and I think he was like hanging on. And then just, he was telling me that you go back down this hill, and he said that when he was coming down the hill, that he said he thought he was gaining on me a little bit, because he's what Taz does and what he's really good at is he's good at not cooking himself up the hills and then sort of just, like, without using any more effort, getting down them really smoothly and quickly. And he said he thought he was gaining at me. And then you do this kind of U-turn. And then he said, I just took off. And he's like, after that, he's like, all right, I'm not catching him. But yeah, it was sort of, I mean, it was sort of a plan. I mean, like after Gold Coast, he half mentioned that he was thinking about doing Melbourne and he had someone who could get him a ticket. And then once he had the ticket confirmed, we did probably two of my four big marathon sessions we did together. And we pretty much ran them. And he was, you know, we were running the same thing and getting them done. So we talked a little bit before, and I kept saying to him before the race, I said, we'll just work together, and if we get both get to 35K and we're still there, that's no matter what, it's a great day. And we got to 35K, and then got a little bit further. And I mean, he had a great run as well. And I've been meaning to ask him this actually. Is I want to ask him is, you know, was Gold Coast was a breakout for him, but is he 2.5 minutes fitter than Gold Coast, or is Melbourne a better course? I think he's a bit fitter, but I don't know how much if Gold Coast is flatter, but it's more humid. So,
I was going to say the weather, probably almost similar. Gold Coast, probably a bit warmer, hey?
yeah, Gold Coast would, I'd
Three or
say,
four
well,
degrees
this
this
year
year.
Gold Coast was a bit warmer. I mean, down there it was 11 degrees, and it's a little bit windy, but it always is at this point, but not enough that you'd say it made a difference to your race. But yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I mean, he had a great run, and I think if anyone can ever do it, like with one of your mates, run a marathon to at least 35K with them, and then I mean it's an unreal experience. It's, you know, if it's now like I don't know, maybe it's just because I run the fastest, but it was having Taz there and just sharing that experience with him has made it one of my, if not my most memorable marathon. And it just made the time just ticked by so quickly. But yeah, it was sort of planned though. We were training together. We knew we'd go out. We had the about 3:40 is what we sort of were gonna roll, somewhere between, you know, or just over or just under. And we sort of both, I was very confident that we'd both get to 32K together. So it's always the plan. And yeah, to be able to pretty much, yeah, 37K, and he wasn't that far behind me. So yeah, it's always the plan though.
Yeah, was that the goal to like did you have 2:36 in mind or more a pace or an effort? And how much did you guys track that pace through the run?
I try not to focus on like a overall time. I like just focusing on like the pace you're running. So at halfway we went through in 1:18:40 or so. And I remember I turned to the group because I talk, and I knew the only time I really thought about the finishing time is the halfway split because it's easy to work out. And Melbourne, when you're on, they have the halfway split. So not all race, most races do, but not all of them do. And I remember turning to him and said, oh, we're on for like 2:37 low here, or 2:37 low to mid. So I thought that's the only time I really thought about it. But generally, what I've tried to do the last two races anyway, the last two marathons I've done, and even halves and that, I try not to focus too much on the overall finish time, more just the pace. That just works for me, you know. Everyone is, you know, wired a bit differently, but for me, I just, yeah, we just focused on, you know, we want to hit around 3:40, and you just hit them till you can't, or you know. So yeah, that's what I focus on, like, yeah, but never really thought too much about the time. I knew that if we ran 3:40s, we'd get somewhere between 2:35, and yeah, if we were just under, you'd get 2:35 something. If you're just over, you'll get your 2:37 or 2:38. So I knew that was the window for a good day. But yeah, I try not to think too much about it. It stresses me out too much.
Yeah, and we always sort of have like people, obviously family, follow in on our runs and the lead in. But how did this Strava blow up? Did your phone get a few DMs in Instagram, or you guys had a week off almost from the bush jerky runs as well, like coming back to the group? I saw you at the track this week, and gave you a handshake, I think. Like, how's it been since with family and mates?
Well, it's I got definitely on the day. Like, you got a few people who were tracking. Jess, my wife, she said it was good tracking this one, because often, like, you get the 30 to 35K split and you start to worry a bit, oh, they're slowing down or whatever. But she said this one was good. And then, yeah, I just finished the race. Took me probably, because when we finished, we had there was everyone's quite like this. So the half marathoners, they would have finished 15, probably 20 minutes before us. And then that they waited for us. So I saw those guys and all that sort of thing. And took me probably close to an hour to get to my phone. And I had, a few messages from a few people who'd been tracking along, like my parents. My dad was actually he was on a surfing holiday in Sumba in Indonesia. And so he messaged me. He'd been tracking along in the morning in between surfs. And so I had a message from him. My mum, like, heaps of people. Then just, since I didn't, and then I went away, so I didn't really see anybody. And then, as just seeing people, everyone's always pretty stoked for you. I think that's one thing that's so good about, like, the Bush Turkey Track Club, like, in general. Like, one person's success is everybody's success. Like, anytime someone does something good in the group, everyone's stoked. And it's like, because it started as a group of mates, and we've kind of kept that as a as the how we go about things and how we support each other and get around each other. So I mean, everyone was stoked, and joined people for the long run. And just to basically, it's great to see people and catch up with them about it and stuff. So, but you definitely get a few messages after the marathon. Like, I think you invest so much time in it, and your family hear you talk about it way too much and all that sort of stuff. So people are, when it goes well, it's pretty good.
Fantastic, mate. Hey, the last two episodes I've had Fraser Darcy on. He was third in the marathon himself, and we'll talk about Fraser actually shortly as we recap the elites. And also had Tim Crosby. I'm not sure if you had much to do with him before the event, but he's the competition director. He organises the mainly the faster guys and works with the people in general is sort of his role. And we both actually spoke about the areas for you've already spoken fondly about Melbourne, but maybe a few other things you can think of, the positives, but also those areas maybe to consider. One thing that or two things that came up in those conversations was looking at like the starting zones. It seems to be pretty loose at the back. You see, I guess the front's a bit more organized, but also the people traffic at the end for the fast runners. Like, did you experience personally some difficulty getting through there at the end of the race?
Melbourne is a little bit challenging like that, just because there's sort of two key points in the race. But I will say, like, the events got bigger this year, and I think they managed it a bit better. I don't know about the half. I've never done the half down there, only ever the marathon. But yeah, there's so when you sort of so when you go down the course, you sort of you go down and you sort of do a lap of the beach, and then you can't start heading up towards the MCG. And then as you sort of go up, it's Fitzroy Road, I think. And as you go up and turn onto St Kilda Road, you merge with the half marathoners. And what they sort of do is they get the marathoners onto the right side. But you're probably, I don't even know what the half marathoners, how fast they'd be, but they would have to be over 2 hour or hour 50 to 2 hour half marathoners that you're running with. And then you sort of merge in with them, and you have a little bit, but that bit wasn't as bad as it was probably the first time I did it, which was 2019. And I was like a 3 hour marathoner, but it might just be like a bigger gap or something. I don't know. Maybe the time difference was between races wasn't as good or something. That bit's probably, can be a little bit challenging, but this year we got through quite well. So, just the marathon's getting the other time. And there's a couple of times when too, there was one guy who a couple of times on that stretch of road yelled out a couple of times and was like, runners back or fast runners back or something. And so the half marathoners who didn't have headphones in jumped out of the way pretty quickly.
Yeah, it's like that.
So that's the first bit that's bad. And then the second bit is, which was, I thought, better this year, was when you go back up past Flinders Street Station. So what the last time, the first time I did it, the half marathoners, used to go. I don't know. I don't know if you've ever watched the 2006 Comm Games Marathon, the end of it, but Kerry McCam won. And you know that footbridge they go over in that race? Well, the half marathons used to go over that, so they didn't go up the Flinders Street Station. So you only merge with them on Brunton Avenue as you're coming into the MCG. The last time I did it, they didn't split the road up at all. So it was just like free for all. And I was running up on the footpath and dodging, weaving and dodging people. And that was quite bad. But this year what they did was they had a fence that went down the middle of the road and they put all the marathoners to the far left. And then it wasn't until you got onto Brunton Avenue, which is basically you go past from the street station, you swing it right down to the MCG, and then it's the road that goes into the MCG. So if anyone's ever watched the Kerry McCam race or any of the footage over the weekend, it's that last road before you go into the MCG. And there was a few people around there, and it was a little bit hectic when you sort of went in, like you turned into the MCG, and then they split you into your lanes. So the marathoners sort of go around the outside and the half marathons through the middle, and then there's no 10Kers really still going by the time the marathon gets there. But that bit's a little bit, but I mean, like, I don't know. Like, I found last time was way worse. But just having that free run of road up at Flinders Street Station made a big difference. But I have heard as well that they're going to a 2-day event. From a few people, I think Inside Running said it, and I've seen a few other things online. And I heard of this. I don't know what the course change would be. I don't know Melbourne particularly well, but apparently they're looking at a course change as well. So I think the event's obviously thinking about it. And I think when you get like elites like Brett Robinson sort of saying that it's a problem, then they probably want to listen because you know for the safety of everybody, you got particularly when guys are coming past running, under 3 minutes a K, you just want to keep everybody safe. So that probably makes them listen a little bit. But yeah, I mean, congestion for me wasn't a big problem this year compared to what it was. It's not perfect, but I mean, there is also 50,000 people out on the street. So between the three or four events they have on in the morning, so. Yeah, I mean, there's something for them to look at, but I think a lot of people have been saying for a lot of years the solution is a 2-day event, like the Gold Coast does, because but yeah, it's yeah, it wasn't too bad, but it's not perfect, but I mean, in saying that, there's a lot of people on the road, so.
Yeah, and that MCG factor must increase the vibes to finish and the event in general. Like it's a significant race now in Australia. The marathon, I guess, I was talking to Fraser, it is weaker than the half marathon and weaker than Sydney, but Sydney is a major. And when I speak to Tim, he promotes it as an event that for everybody, not just for trying to get the elites, and that ends a bit more, I guess, well, to have depth in that space. So there's a few factors there to think about. But speaking of Brett Robinson, I did hear him, one of the good podcasts, well, the host, Matt, he was down there and he spoke to Brett Robinson after the race. And I did hear him have a bit of a whinge about the traffic coming through at the end there. And, it's fair enough. Like he's at the pointy end of the race. He was fourth in the half marathon, which probably for him too. And we'll get to the elites now, I guess, Stephen, that he was quite, well, not disappointed. Like he sort of was honest in that interview about that really reflected his current fitness at the moment. Struy McSwain was out there for, I think, his second ever half marathon. He's not on the list here for us, but I think he was 65 or 64 high. Brett was definitely in the 64s. And for the half itself, as we stay there, Haftous Frintos, who's been around for a few years now, and he's hammering that top end now, isn't he? I think he's run an hour under 61 minutes, hasn't he? Have to somewhere
Yeah, I think
overseas.
he, I think, what's that one? Marigami. I
Yeah,
think
that's
he ran
it. Yeah.
60, 30 something, just slower than Andy Buchanan's run over the half, I'm pretty sure. So, yeah, from what I heard, he just dominated the half pretty much. Got to a point and just
Yeah, he's
said,
pulled away, yeah.
just pulled away and said, no, it's my day, come with me if you're good enough. And nobody was. So, yeah, he had a blinder. And apparently he's chasing the Aussie record in Valencia. So, I mean, must be going pretty well and having a bit of confidence, but that 62 at Melbourne is a good run. So.
Yeah, it's right up there, isn't it? Faccioni was behind him, and Faccioni was at the Australian, no, yeah, the Australian champs, wasn't he? Cross country, that is, and he took that out. Obviously, a shorter event. I think that was his debut in the half, actually. And well, Tim Crosby said that he was talking to Tim about how far it felt, the half marathon in 63:21. And you have to leave his side there at some point. But good to see him there. I don't know much about Toby Gualter, but Izzy Batdal won the ladies in a record time. Georgia, is that Grech? I don't know much about her either. And of course, Sinead, she's 49 this year. So to run it, I think someone inside running recently too, I think might have been Moose actually, like gave her a shout out. And of course, like she's 49 and she's running 70 minutes for a half. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's unbelievable to be running that fast. And I know she doesn't. I know she like I've heard her say a few times like she doesn't like when they talk about it, like comparing her to like age groupers because she's a pro. Like she is a pro, but she still works and has a family, has kids. That Georgia, I don't know much about her either. But I think I've heard that. I think she's a Kiwi who's just moved to Melbourne. But I mean, she's obviously got some wheels if she's running under 70 minutes at a half. And but I think Izzy Batdal was always sort of the one to beat, and was would pretty much have to have a bad day. I know Clive ran a fair chunk of it with her, and then he said she pretty much was just dominating, and then ran away from him and put a bit of time into him and sped up, and he sort of just hung on. So yeah, she had a good like a good run. I mean, she's what's she run for the half? I think it's 67 something. Is that the ladies'
I was
Australian record?
literally, we think alike, Stephen. I was looking up the times. I had Izzy in mind. I found on World Athletics, there's the list. It's Izzy Batdal first. For whatever reason, there's no times here. I thought she was a 67 high. Yeah. Leanne Pompeani second, Stenson third. Does that look accurate? I just can't see times here. I'm going to share my screen to you. This isn't great radio doing this, but can you see that? See, it's no time, so I might have to chat GPT it. But yeah, I'm pretty sure it's easy. There's a number of ladies, all those ladies there, as you probably know, Stephen, are like very close to each other, sort of like 30 to 40 seconds between Izzy down to Jen at around that 68 mark. Where's the
I think
times? That's ridiculous.
don't know. But anyway, yeah, I know that she's got the Australian record and she's around 67 something. So, yeah, running a minute off your best on probably, I don't know. I mean, the women's might be a little bit faster than the men's because they have so many blokes around them. Like, if you ever see the elite women's race, they're always surrounded by sub-elite men that they inevitably drop. But yeah, it's still a good run. So I reckon she, yeah, there wasn't really anyone. I know Ewan ran a fair bit with Jen Gregson, and that was like first half back since having a baby. And yeah, that's kind of unbelievable. Like she had her baby after my son was born this year, and to get back to that kind of shape so quickly is unbelievable. I think she finished a little bit in front of Ewan. Ewan ran 74 low, and she I think was 73 high. So I mean pretty unbelievable. But yeah, I think at her best, Izzy Batdal is probably still over the half distance is probably still. Yeah, I mean, she is the fastest Australian of all time. So of the current crop of girls, she's hard to beat at that distance.
Yeah, 67 low is her official time. That was in Japan this year, 67. So yeah, pretty close to that. But yeah, it's great to see her come through. It was sort of like I've been hearing a few different things about the event on podcast even, but like just for the promotion, I guess, of these athletes like Jack Rayner in the fact that they're winning the event. Obviously, the money is one part of the payout that they get, but just like the scenes of someone like Rayner to win Melbourne in his home state. All these, like, I guess the way that he looks too, and they get awesome. Do you see that video of him? It was like a minute long. Someone did some slow-mo clip of him, and it sort of like showed him in training, and then it merged into him finishing in Melbourne in the clip. You see that?
I haven't seen that.
Unbelievable
I'll have to check
videography.
it out.
So it all helps for these guys. Like, this is a job for them, and a job is to make money, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, like in 215's not a, in terms of the elite men's, it's not a particularly fast time. But I think you got to also remember with that Jack Rander's run this year that he was at World Champs like 3 weeks before. Like it or
Yeah,
maybe it
training
might have
for a
been a few more
5K.
weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks and then a small taper of training. So, to run that off, I at the after party, I think we should have asked him what he was thinking. But I'd love to see him like have a proper build into the roads again and just to see what he could run now. But yeah, I mean, it'd be pretty unreal if he's Melbourne based. Nike's his sponsor. It's the Nike Melbourne Marathon. Running into the MCG and all that, it'd be a pretty good one to win. And they get a pretty nice paycheck if you do win it. So it's actually pretty interesting watching the race. Like seeing him out there a couple of times. I don't know
Yes,
if you know
so in
that guy
control.
Joe Fekuda. He won the Gold Coast Marathon. He was
Yeah,
in.
definitely.
He came fourth or fifth, I think.
Yeah.
They were when I saw them a couple of times. So you sort of see them on the down near St Kilda. You do a fairly long out and back along that section. And yeah, he was just tucked in behind Joe Fekuda. And then I think I heard him say on, I don't know if it was for the Kudos or one of those other ones, that he just got away at 30K and was just basically running scared and then at a point realized he didn't have to stress too much. He could just run it in. No one was going to get him. So, but yeah, good for him. I mean, it's the job. If you can do it, why not? And I really love to see him have a good crack on the roads. I reckon he'd be awesome. Like, he'd have to be capable of getting the Australian record, you think?
Yeah, he was so in control there. It's yeah, I do hear that getting thrown around. Like I do think like he's still what's his PB? 211? 206 is now the Australian record. I just think sometimes you gotta show some respect to guys like Andy. But I do agree, like he definitely has potential, but there's still minutes there to put together. What is he? Almost 30 now, Jack. Like he's still got plenty of time, I reckon. And if you can put like a good like for Andy, it's taken years, hasn't it? It's not just a good block, it's years and years of doing the same thing. Whereas Rayner has really chopped between events. So I just wonder if he just chose one event, say the marathon, it might assist him there. But a 215, like for him, I wonder if that was literally a chance again to pick up some cash and a bit of promotion for him and just control that race and take the win. Or, like, was that his best at the moment, considering he had a 5K lead up? And I just wonder how he was training. How do you train for a 5K and a marathon?
Oh, I think you don't train for the marathon, then get a couple of long runs in the last few weeks. I suppose you do have to think as well. Like the 5K guys, 5K guys at that level are still running 150, 160K a week. Like they're still, like my biggest week leading up was 131 or 32K, and that feels like a lot. So these guys are doing more than that, plus gym. I don't know if he does any. I know he's injury prone, so he's got some cross training. But yeah, it is interesting with him. He sort of was on the roads when he was younger when he ran that 2:11, which I'm pretty sure was 2019. And then just had the bad Olympics. He had a I think he had a rough time at maybe a New York marathon, maybe in 2019 as well. And then he sort of somehow found something on the track and has run very quick over 10K, and all that. But it'd be interesting to see if he now moves away from the track, or if he has another year on the track. Because as you're getting closer to 30, it probably traditionally that is when guys go to the roads, and is a bit different now. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see what he does moving forward anyway. Because I know I'm pretty sure at the pub after I know he said that he I think towards the end he was getting some hamstring cramping as well. So I think he was a little bit not probably not quite conditioned enough for the marathon. But they yeah, I don't know. Be interesting to see. I'd love to see what he could do. But you think with a 27:09 10K, I don't know. I don't know if he's really run a quick half though either. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's like, well, I'm looking at the list now. I'm going to share it to you again. And it's actually ordered in ranking, Stephen. That's why they are in that order. But imagine these guys in a race together. They're all pretty much 63 and under, like Buchanan, Hayne, Clifford, Sprintos, Robinson, Burden. Even guys like Gregson, Seth O'Donnell, of course. Pat Tiernan hasn't done a good one for a couple of years, has he? Like, there's so many guys there, almost 10, I reckon. Again, I don't have times in front of me that are sort of under that low 63 mark.
I mean, well, who knows what Pat Tien? I don't think Pat, I think maybe he's still in New York or something. Pat Tien is a bit of a funny one, but yeah, there's definitely definitely some guys out there who could love to get them all in Valencia or something like that. See how fast they could all run, all race each other. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah, it's just like if you go to Valencia, it's the marathon, isn't it?
I think they've got the actually. I think the Valencia half might be this weekend. I think Isaac Hayne. I think you've had Isaac Hayne on, haven't you?
Yeah, yes.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's running the Valencia half. So he's an. I mean, he's another guy around that who you think will go the marathon eventually, and but is running really quick over that shorter stuff on the road. So
Yeah.
there's a heap of them.
Yeah, speaking of the roads, we'll move away from Australia, Australian running to see Kip Limo. He was on world record pace at Chicago. There's been so much happening, sort of not the last week or so, but a couple of weeks back, including Melbourne. Chicago, was that the same weekend, Stephen?
Same day, same
Sa
day.
same,
Well,
yeah, same.
same day, but like a
At a
day
different
later with the
time.
time difference. Yeah.
Yeah, he was on world record pace till 35K. It's still Kelvin Kiptum, as you probably know. And he finished in a 2:02, but yeah, he was on track to like for most of that. It does sound good, like in theory, but in some ways it's equally like not that great. Like just to run the pace to a certain point is pretty cool, but also it takes 42 kilometers to run the world record, doesn't it?
And I've seen like something that was floating around social media for a couple of days like that where they compared the splits, and it just
Yes.
like it makes you realize how good Kiptum was, that like it's every 5K one he's just sort of hanging back, relaxing, still at a rapid pace, and then just in the last probably 10K, just goes absolutely berserk and, comes home like a, absolute freight train and just, just speeds up. Whereas Kiptum, oh, not Kiptum, Kip Limo, sorry. He seems like he, it was, I mean, it's funny, we're talking about a blow up, and I'm pretty sure he was around like 15:05 or something for one of the 5Ks. Like it was still 3 minute Ks, which is, and we're calling that a blow up, but he definitely slowed down quite a bit. So it's, I mean, that's the marathon as well. Like the, what's that guy, Sawe or something, who ran Berlin? I think that's his name.
Yeah, a month or so
He's
ago,
same thing.
wasn't
He
it?
went out. He
Same
went
thing.
out in world record pace and ended up 2:03. I mean, Berlin was a warm day
And it
this
was
year.
hot.
But yeah, there's only a handful of guys, but it just goes to show, even at that level, the marathon is hard. And you're running that far for that long, it's like a lot has to go right. And if you get it a little bit wrong, like Kipton did, I mean, he hung on for the win, but he still, it, you can lose a lot of time, or for him, like not really that much time, like, but you can lose time pretty quickly. So, it's, I mean, it's a good run to 2:02. I mean, it's a very good run. Like anything that fast is unreal, but I think it goes to show. There'll probably be heaps of talk with the Kelvin Kiptum, like every now and then that record's going to go, but like I think it might stand for a while, just because I don't know if there's another guy out there who just has that, you can just, come home, or maybe they just got to go a bit slower at the start or something, but I don't know.
Yeah, and one thing we've got to acknowledge too, which is factual, that there's been so many people around the world, but mainly Africans, banned from racing. And Ruth Chepngetich, that's not on the agenda, Stephen. I've just thought of it in this moment. Yesterday, news had come out. You see, that 3-year ban moving forward. I don't think it's going to affect her record, that 2:09, but she's out for 3 years now. And that was a diuretic, which basically masks the use of performance enhancers.
I saw that, and I don't know. I read the there's an article on the Guardian about it, and it said something about the whatever the what are they called, the Athletics Integrity Unit or the AIU, and they her excuse was something along the lines of that a housemaid, she was sick and took a housemaid's medication without looking at what was in it, and they said something that in the article it said the AIU called this hard to believe,
Yeah, I've got
But
that up
yeah.
now. Got that up now. It says here she now recalls that she had taken ill to oh she'd got sick 2 days before the positive test, and she'd taken her housemaid's medication as treatment without taking any steps to verify it, that it contained a prohibited substance. Crazy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's sort of, I think it's one of those things like with, I mean, the 209, just it seems at the time like I thought it was too good to be true. And I think it is one of those lessons in life when something seems too good to be true, it probably is. Yeah, but you know, like I suppose you got to put a little bit of faith that people are, you know, that the there's the doping control sort of people are doing their best to, you know, take it. But I think they've got to go a bit harder at the managers who get who have athletes getting done. Like the I can't remember his name, but Chepngetich's manager has had like
Yeah, they've all
heaps of
got teams
athletes.
around them. Yeah, we often
Yeah,
point the
yeah.
finger at the athlete, but they've all got certain staff in different capacities who are enabling the whole situation, aren't they?
Yeah, that's right. Like it's, and it's, you know, you think, you sort of think it's the dodgy managers that you know, if you're like, I mean, you also have to look at it in a way, like if you're, you know, if you're living in East Africa and you can, you're good enough at running to, you know, maybe podium in a world major, but if you take some substance, you can win a world major, which sets your family up for life. And you know, it can help a whole bunch of people. Like I sort of sometimes think, would I do that if I was in that scenario? And you know, someone says, take this and you'll run faster. I can't probably say that, you know, if like, you know, if that was my scenario. And over there, from what I've heard, when people get done for doping, it's like they disappear. Like it's water off a duck's back for them. They go away and you never hear them again, but they don't lose any prize money and they don't, their family's still set up for life. So, yeah, I don't know. It's, I think the whole doping thing is not as black and white as, I mean, in Australia it is. I mean, if you got done for doping here, like you're done, like you're cancelled basically. But, over there, I don't think it's as simple as that. And it's, I don't necessarily know if you can go, it's fully the athlete's fault. I think it's the managers taking advantage of some people who see an opportunity that can change their life of not just them but their families. And probably I think until they start holding managers accountable, I don't really think that the issue is going to go away. But also you still got to be pretty good to run those times. Like the drugs help, but they you still got to be good. So I suppose it's, yeah, I don't know, it's complicated, it's complex.
Yeah, and it's probably hard for us to understand too as sub-elite runners or recreational runners too, where like these runners are taking cash and taking fame and podiums away from you because of this extra advantage. Well, like the only comparison I can make is like going to a training session and there's someone who's similar to you but just taking something and they keep smashing you in reps and you're getting frustrated, but then you add in lots of money on the line, and then you can imagine in a race environment how frustrating that would be. But speaking of training, let's get to your training, because I guess like after a marathon, you sort of need a good 4 weeks to get fresh again and get back into training. And now it's at that point through summer where it does start to get a bit harder. The races are less frequent. There's track events coming up, which I know you might be a part of. The 5K Champs is in what, 2 weeks from tomorrow in Brisbane as well.
Today, 2 weeks from today,
From today, Saturday. Yeah, it
Saturday
is 2 weeks.
arvo. Yeah, well, for me, look, it takes me usually like th 3 4 weeks before I sort of start feeling pretty normal. Like just like the week after the marathon, like my heart rate, like on one of the easy jogs, the one I did with Andrew Parr, I remember I got back and I looked, my heart rate was like 150, and we were not going particularly fast. But it does, I mean, you do have to like recognize it is a significant load on your body. So for me, like the next few weeks, like as I said, I just jogged this week and did some strides. If the 5K chance wasn't in 2 weeks, I wouldn't have done any strides either. I just, it's one of those things, I want to jump on the track and do it. I'm going to leave it sort of till the week. probably end of next week I'll decide. But I'm like, well, if I'm gonna do it, I've got to keep a little bit of sharpness in the legs and not just jog and not just plod around for like a few weeks. But yeah, like I'll probably normally, yeah, probably about 3 to 4 weeks you get back into see your normal. So yeah, next week I'll probably do 2 sessions. But I'll just do them at a little bit lower intensity, or lower volume. I won't do as much, so just sort of chill out sort of thing. So yeah, but it does, you know, it does take a while to get back into it. And sort of like I think with the marathons too, like you also the other thing, like I've never done this, but I only ever do one a year. I did two in a year once and got injured. But you got to really, I think you've got to respect the distance and, you know, just take your time and, you know, do some other stuff before you get back into marathon training as well. So, when I do get back to it, it's going to be, yeah, like, yeah, just more of just that short stuff and, you know, not doing big, long Sunday long runs. 'Cause as you said, it is hot. Like I went out this morning and I just jogged like 9K and I came back and I was dripping. I was like, what is this?
Crazy.
It just changes here, like around this time of year, and then all of a sudden it's like you're just, yeah, running in soup. So,
Yeah, just give us an idea. I was just thinking of like the bush jerky training. It changes a little bit, doesn't it, through summer? We get on the track a bit more and naturally the reps come down. And I love the track for a few reasons. Number one, we've spoken about this, Stephen. You know the distance. The track is the most measured place you can run. It's 400 meters around it. So use that as a point. Particularly manually, like lapping as you go around to check your pace at certain points, like in 400s. The other day, I was checking my 200 splits within the 400 rep as you go. It's hard to get that completely accurate when you're not running on a track. And it's also like it's sort of a lot freer, isn't it? On the waterfront here at Sandgate in Brisbane, we get a few walkers and other running groups, and there's often debris along the waterfront too that might come up. And I just find the track just a very fast and measured and controlled place to bring those reps down. So we sort of go below 1K reps a bit more, don't we?
yeah, well, definitely. I think because like the other thing too is like there's like a whole bunch of guys in the Turkeys who will jump on the track over summer, but we also do the we've got the club relays coming up as well, which is like a 1K relay event, which is a whole heap of fun. But a lot of the yeah, like a lot of the guys that will they'll try and sharpen up and just get a little bit faster, and then also the Bush Turkey Classic, which is sort of more your middle distance, so. A lot of guys will, yeah, they'll jump on the track, do some shorter stuff just between those, like, you know, QA track events and those two bush turkey events, just to sharpen up. But yeah, I mean, the summer is a great, I don't really like running at the track in winter, like, all that much. Like, I think also it's road season over winter as well. But like in the summer, it is nice when you're just smacking, like, you know, 400s and 800s, and you can dial in so much more and then just control your reps. And yeah, as you said, you're not dodging walkers and all that. I mean, when it's raining at the track and you can run some pretty big puddles, but outside of that, like there's nothing that slows you down. And it's just a lot of fun as well. Like your mates are all just there and you sort of finish and yeah, your reps and are around everybody at the start and the finish and all that. And I love like you and Clive and I do a lot of training together. And I love when we just sort of, you know, if we're doing say 800s or something, we just take turns at taking reps. Clive usually drops Ewan and I, or Ewan will also run away from me a little bit towards the end. But yeah, we take turns for as long as we can as well, which is something I think in when you're running on the Sandgate waterfront, we don't really do that. It's just kind of you just go as you can to feel. But yeah, it is a lot of fun, and you know, racing on the track is a lot of fun, and you know, that's obviously over summer, so. You'd want to do what you can to gear up for it.
Yeah, speaking about the track, those QA events too are coming up. They sort of go through to March, I think, and they have any event from, well, if we include 800 as a distance or middle distance event up to the 10K. Are you going to lock in that 5K? You sort of alluded to it there, but then also anything after that in the next few months for QA events?
Yeah, I'm pretty. I think at this stage I'm a 70% chance like to do it. I'll see how I get through this week. I really want to, but I just sort of don't want to get carried away. But if I don't do the 5K, which or even if I do the 5K, I am sort of pretty keen to have a crack at another 3K. So I might do one of them over January or December, probably January. And then if it lines up, I might do, they do 2 5Ks a year. And I think we did the second one this year, in February. So I was kind of tempted to do that, but also February is so hot that, for a 5K, November is a little bit better, I reckon. So, yeah, I would, I'm keen, but I think I will, like, if I don't jump on in 2 weeks' time and do the 5K, I think I'll do it like at least a 3K this year. Because yeah, I really like racing on the track, and it's just kind of so pure. And you know when you start up, you're gonna run. You're never worried about the event being short or whatever. You're just running around the track for, well, for me, I'm like, part of me is like a little bit tempted to do like a 1500 or an 800, but then more of me is like, I really don't need to be doing a 1500 or an 800. But like, so for me, it's always 7.5 laps or 12.5 laps for the 3000 or the 5000. So, no, I am keen to get to the track, and I'm hoping, because I think, like, I know you're pretty keen for the 5K champs, and Clive is trying to juggle that at the moment to see if he can get there. And I think Bluey's doing it as well. So there's at least five or six of us going from the Turkeys, which is, yeah, heaps of fun. And last year my family came, so my daughter was there, and it's, yeah, a pretty late night for her. She was only four, but she said to me at the start of the race, she's like, she said, "Dad, run fast so you can get to bed." And I was like, "Yeah, all right, good advice, sweetie." But she, yeah, it's like, track's a lot of fun. Like, when you get mates, you see them every lap. So it's, yeah, I'm very keen to get there, and I'm really hoping, I can. But I'll give it a week and, see how I'm feeling.
Awesome. I was just thinking of listeners there about some questions they may have about some of those aspects. So, firstly, the QA meets, you can just sign up through a club there. Obviously, if you've got a connection to a club, it's best to go with that for a QA event online first, and then you can sort of sign up for the year and go to any event. They're pretty cheap, aren't they, Stephen? The events, like from memory, sort of $30.
Yeah,
Or is
20.
it
I think depends on the
the
championships. I think are
membership? Yeah.
$30. Oh, membership. Yeah, membership. Oh, I always get
Depends what you
mine from
pay.
Moreton
Yeah.
Bay, and Moreton Bay is $75 a year.
Yeah.
And then you get all, like, you get the QA side, but then you also get the Moreton Bay side. But I think the QA is like 50 or $60, isn't it? I'm not sure.
Yeah, and you can sort of pick, like, there's generic groups like Q Run, or it doesn't really matter. Obviously, yeah, if you've got connections or you can go through to the person in charge of those groups, it's probably best. But you can now run with any shoes too. I think now in more recent times they've allowed you to run in any shoe for a while, but they're actually recording your time now, whereas in the past they'd only record those who wear the spikes. So you don't have to wear spikes. There's often many heats, so you don't have to be fast either. There's always a slower heat for those who want to be included and have a crack. Again, it's measured like it's a 5K, so you know exactly that you're running 5,000, and you can compare that to anything, including park runs. The other one too is the Nudgee track. I just had a message from a Burt runner as we're talking there just in the last few minutes, Stephen, about the track at Nudgee, and I do work there. So quickly on that one, you can rock up there any day of the week. It's sort of like a loyalty respect policy where there's no payment, there's no booking system. You just jump on there. Best to go, early. Earlier the better. Once you're hitting about 7 o'clock, you're probably getting close to times where Nudgee athletes or coaches might be on that track, and definitely the afternoons are pretty busy. So if you go the afternoons, try and go after sort of 5:30 p.m. and you should be okay. And yeah, look after the track. I guess that some of the policies too we use is like lane one's to run fast, lane two is or further out you jog, and we often go reverse, don't we, Stephen, for warm-ups and cool downs. Not that you have to do that, but it just probably shakes it up a bit. And then I
Yeah.
guess the Bush Turkey Track Club too, quickly. You might talk about people who are interested in joining us or running with us, like a sub 25K is the mark for the men's and sub 22 for the women's. And they can, where's the best starting point if they want to have a run or start to think about
Yeah,
joining
I
a group?
think if anyone's interested, like, we just flick the Instagram a message, direct message there. That's the easiest spot to get in track with. So usually, I think it's usually Clive or Lisa who will reply to you. So they're both, yeah, very friendly, very approachable. And yeah, as I said, I think, like, I'm probably a little bit biased, but yeah, we're a great group. So if you particularly if you live locally and you want to run with us, like, we've got a lot of guys who run sort of probably between 17 and 18 and a half minutes. So if you're, even if you're just dipping under 16 or closer to 20, like you always have someone to run with in our group. And but yeah, Instagram I think is the best spot. And one thing to probably mention too is the Bush Jerky Classic. That's open to anybody. So if you are interested in some like, you know, local kind of just fun races, like keep an eye out on our socials for that as well. Yeah, we will they start I think in December, so they'll definitely start promoting them a bit harder. They're a lot of fun. I didn't do any last year. But usually I do at least one or two of them, and they're heaps of fun as well. So if you and for those, we don't have the restriction on how fast you got to be for them. Anyone can show up for them. So I don't know if anyone knows Christy McFadden. She's a local coach in the 4017, like really great person as well. She'd be a, I think she's more a trail now, and she's probably, yeah, she's so she'd be probably a maybe a 24, 25 minute park runner. She joined us for one of them a few years ago. So yeah, anyone can join those classic events, and they're heaps of fun. So but yeah, so for joining us for some training or that, just keep an eye on our socials or flick us a direct message. There's a few people who manage them, and yeah, we get back to everyone we sort of who reaches out to us. So
Definitely. And yeah, sort of if we rewind the clock maybe 4 years ago when it was founded, there was only a handful to eight sort of runners there. And I knew of you before that time too, Stephen. But it's now that relay, for example, has close to 50 athletes in it of all abilities. And that's all about that race is all about it's handicapped. We look at it's a 1K relay. We cater for different abilities to try and get the race as close as possible. So I just feel like it's a very inclusive group. It's definitely good fun. And yeah, certainly changed my life since I joined last year. So highly recommend it. Anything else we've missed here on the agenda, Stephen, that you want to talk about? Or we covered most things now?
no, I think we've covered most things. Yeah, but no, I think that's about it. They yeah, it's always good talking to you about running and all that. But and yeah, talking up the Bush Jerky Track Club, because yeah, I'm with you. You know what? They're honestly, it's the best running group in Brisbane, if not Australia, in my opinion. I'm a little bit biased, but yeah, it's nothing else to add there.
Yeah, and the great thing about running clubs too is they're almost free, aren't they? It's not like you're going to a gym or Pilates where you're spending so much money. So, and I was saying to a mate in the group the other day that it's just like we bring such great humans together in that group. I don't know what it is about running clubs, but they just attract great people, and it's good to be part of it. So, yeah, thank you for elaborating on the Bush Turkeys, mate, and your Melbourne Marathon and the event in general. We had some great feedback after the World Champs conversation about your knowledge of the sport and memory to bring up facts here and there when you're thrown on the spot. So appreciate all of
I'm a
that
nuffy.
sharing.
I like, I, yeah. I swear, I, no, I'm, yeah, I like, yeah, I love running and athletics and, yeah, following it, you know, locally and around the world. So, yeah, it's always great when I get to talk to you or anyone about it. So, I'll chew anyone's ear off. If you actually asked Taz in the race, I chewed everyone's ear off in the pack, including Millie Clark, who came third in the women's marathon. And he was like, man, you gotta shut up. But, yeah. Anyway, but yeah, no, it's always good to talk to you and yeah, talk about running. Yeah, as I said, I love it. So,
You looking for a little bit more guidance and coaching for 2025 and 26? Touch base on the Local Legend in Running Instagram page and happy to talk further to you. I coach a number of athletes on their way to races such as 10K, half marathons, and marathon events. Welcome.